Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for the day's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Lamb, Our Fulfillment. Today's message is based on Revelation chapter 5. So let us open with prayer. Loving God, we have gathered to meet You. We have come to listen to You, to seek You, to worship You. You are the beginning of all things, the life of all things. You knew us before we were born. In You we become. In You we live. Loving God, You are here and everywhere around us and within us. You know our inmost thoughts. In You we hope. In You we live. You are the source of serenity, giving peace that is beyond our understanding. In You we are still. In You we live. Loving God, we live in You. We worship You. Loving God, You live in us. We worship You. Amen. So now let us turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its 7 seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. Then he came, he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp, and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the 4 living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. So as we continue in our journey through Revelation, we are now in the throne room of God. John has been granted an exciting opportunity to see the holiest of all the universe, and the drama continues. We open with, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back and sealed with 7 seals." John sees God sitting on His throne holding a scroll. The written word was expensive in these days, and anyone possessing a document must be wealthy, a businessman, or a scholar. The problem for the Jews was whenever they opened a new synagogue, they had to acquire copies of the scriptures, and this was very expensive. So here God has a scroll, and we must assume it contained a good deal of information as it was written on both sides. Papyrus was the primary writing medium. There was leather, but it was even more expensive. In making papyrus, one side was nicely finished, making a good surface for writing, and most scrolls were written on only the one side. Sometimes a short document would be written on a sheet, which would then be rolled up. But longer documents had the choice of spending more money to buy a longer scroll or writing on the back. Now, since the scroll God holds is written on both sides And remember, it is God, so money would be no problem. This scroll must contain a great deal of information. And next, it is sealed with 7 seals. When the document was complete, a thread or a cord would be tied around to keep it closed. If it was important, the knot on the cord would have a seal placed on it to ensure that only an authorized person would open it. For very important documents, like a will, there would be 7 cords and 7 seals, one each for the 7 witnesses, placing their own seal. Only these 7 witnesses or their approved representatives would be allowed to break their personal seal and thus open the document. Now, keeping with the theme of Revelation, we may also assume this all implies great secrecy and completeness. This is likely the same scroll we read about in Daniel 12 and Ezekiel 2. The scroll has been called God's will toward humanity, but I personally see it as God's revelation to humanity, His plan for the end times. And then continuing in verses 2 through 3, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" And no one could. We are not told who or really what the strong angel is. One can only assume it was an angel very powerful of in close communication with God. And don't worry about so much about who this angel is, but rather concentrate on the message, for that is the purpose of angels, messengers. And that is, this is a very important message. And this angel asked for one who is worthy to open his seals, and none stands up. So who could be worthy? You're in heaven, after all. Now, none of us would be found at that level. Not any of the 24 elders or any other angel. Now, in a will, it would have to be one who witnessed the authenticity of the contents. To be worthy, one would have to have performed some great service to God. This would have to be a very special person. And John says, "So I wept much because no one was found worthy." Now, John, having come so far in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, weeps, for he is not able to find out what is on the scroll. John has been promised that he would be shown much, but now it all seems to be finished. And seeing John so upset, one of the elders said to him, "Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." How many times did Jesus in his earthly ministry tell someone to not weep or fear? This is a consistent message of our Lord, and it now appears and it applied to John. There is only one who is worthy. This one is introduced with 2 Masonic titles, the Lion of Judah from Genesis 49 and the Root of David from Isaiah 11. Also, it does not take 7 different people to open a scroll, for in this case, the one is more than sufficient. And going back just a little, the one who is worthy, who was the Messiah, and what great service did he perform for God? We know the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We know the service of his ministry, his sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection. But how often do we acknowledge the fact of Jesus as co-creator with God? Jesus, the Lamb of God, is worthy. But how is he represented in this passage? And from verses 6 through 7, "I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. He came, he took the scroll, who sat on the throne." Christ appears as a slain lamb, is found in the very center of the throne room. Now, first, Christ appears as the sacrificial lamb. Usually, this was done by cutting the throat. So the lamb is grievously wounded beyond any hope. It is obvious what has occurred and is the primary reason for his presence. This image is one of great contrast. The lamb being white in purity, fluffy and gentle, small compared to all around it, and bloody. Now next, a lamb has 7 horns for perfect power, honor, and authority, and 7 eyes for being all-seeing. And from Zechariah 4, we get the image of the 7 lamps, which are the eyes of the Lord, which can be seen through all the earth. Jesus the Lamb then takes the scroll from God. Now this passage has one of the greatest descriptions of Christ from a theological sense. He appears here as the fulfillment of all the hopes and dreams of humanity. His ultimate sacrifice was given that was meant for our restoration to God and the salvation of our souls. And this is where tragedy turns to triumph, shame to glory. This shows clearly the majesty and the meekness, the humiliation of his death and the glory of the risen Christ. This is a picture of contradiction, which is the Christian life, and the truth that we all must follow to gain eternity. All of this in one image, for only he is worthy. Then continuing now, when he had taken the scroll, the living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. It is at this point where Christ receives his greatest honor. Even the four living creatures fall down before the Lamb, interrupting their continuous worship of God. The harp is a symbol of music and worship. It was a favorite of the psalmist, especially David. They each have a golden bowl full of incense, and I have not yet figured out just how you hold a large bowl and play a harp at the same time. But these are symbols of proper worship. Worship due to God that is now being given to Christ. We must remember that what we are reading is a highly symbolic and not literal. This passage is to bring praise to Christ and not that Jesus replaces God. It is central to our being Christian. We must remember the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three, and not just one of them. They are a package deal. The use of incense is something we are not so informed of in this day. It has been used in worship in various religions from very early. It provides a pleasing smell or odor that goes up to God and covers the stench of human odor, often thought of as a purifying element, especially at funerals. It is also visible. This is again symbolic of our prayers that go up to heaven. When we pray, we can see nothing. So the burning of incense gives us a visual of what we intend. There is nothing wrong with burning incense, but it's not a necessary element of worship, but rather a leftover that tells me we are considered to be incapable through our faith to trust that our prayers actually go where we intend. The incense in this passage represents all the prayers of the believers from the world. Imagine if we could actually see our prayers. What would we see? Would there be a large cloud ascending to heaven? Would we see only a very small one, or worse, no cloud at all? So now take the prayers of all Christians, if done rightly. What a magnificent cloud that would be. And finally, we have a new song. Many commentators of this passage relate to the idea that heaven is a place of grand music with harps and constant singing. And this is why I am appreciative to the musical efforts in the church. They are not actually necessary for good worship, but they add so much to the solemn nature of worship. Music raises worship to a new and higher level. Music exposes more senses toward God. Music allows all of us to participate as we are most comfortable. If we do not sing, we can listen to others. Music stirs the soul to make us more receptive to God's presence. Of interest here is the word that John uses for new. There are two words in Greek normally used. The first is neos, which means new in a point of time, like I have new socks. Just got them, and they are much newer than my old ones. The other is kainos, which means new as a point in quality. Kainos means not only a thing recently purchased or produced, but whose life has never existed before. John uses kainos in this passage. Jesus has brought to us something that has never existed before, new joy, new thrill, new peace. Christianity brings us a supreme quality in worship, a sheen in a world grown old in sin. And it continues, You are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, have made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that is are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now this song is broken into two parts by John's comment. Amazed at the sheer number of worshipers, the new song reviews what has just taken place in heaven as well as through the life of Jesus. Jesus is worthy to take the scroll. Why? Because he was willingly slain that we may find redemption from our sin-filled lives. Who is redeemed? Every people, every tongue, every nation is eligible if we accept. And verse 13 specifically implies that all creatures and natures will also worship Christ. This is the total and complete acceptance for what is to come. Now the under the earth implies the dead. Those who have died and buried will also join in on this chorus expectant of their resurrection. This chapter closes in verse 14. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Now William Barclay states in his commentary, Now the chorus of praise goes so far that it cannot go further, for it reaches throughout the whole of the universe, the whole of creation. While this may seem to be a conclusion, it is actually a look forward for the moment when every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, from Philippians 2. Those closest to God will worship the Lamb as well. The day that is to be, all will worship rightly. I believe that when we are in heaven, this will be our task. We will be full of joy while we do. I hope that you have noticed that the central focus of this chapter is the Lamb. Now, in the olden days of my youth, girls would have a coming out party to signify that they were now adults. This was to be their introduction to society. In Jane Austen's world of Victorian England, this was when a girl was deemed ready by her family, sufficiently accomplished in all the skills she needed to be a social asset to her future husband. She would make her come out, although sometime between 16 and 18 was common. The exact timing might vary depending on the status of other siblings, especially sisters. At such a party, the young lady in question would undoubtedly be the center of all attention for that night. Well, this chapter in Revelation can be seen as a coming out for Jesus to the world. But this was far more than one night. This was for eternity. As we see the world fall further and further away from God today, something must first occur before all our attention will be forever focused on the Christ. We may be seeing it in some of the revivals springing up in Kentucky like Asbury University, and now several others as well. Imagine a church meeting that lasts every evening for over 2 weeks now. There are some skeptics, as this all seems too convenient. But to deny the Holy Spirit would be a grievous mistake. And this too may pass, or this could simply be the beginning. So don't doubt, but trust in your prayers that we will be on the beginning edge of a world of change for God. To open your heart to God as completely as you are able, and then listen to the response you get. You may be pleasantly surprised. So today we were introduced to the Lamb, our fulfillment, the fulfillment of all our desires for personal salvation as well as a national restoration, if we pray in complete trust and hope. So I pray for all of you that your prayers will more resemble a great cloud floating up to those golden bowls, bowls overflowing with our earnest desire for Christ among us in any form the Holy Spirit may decide for us. Remember, though, It all begins with prayers. Yours, mine, and ours. Amen. Let us now close with our benediction. Grant us, O Lord, to know that which is worth knowing, to love that which is worth loving, to praise that which pleases you most, to esteem that which is most precious unto you, and to dislike whatsoever is evil in your eyes. Grant us true judgment to distinguish things that differ, and above all to search out and do what is well-pleasing to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you today and settle in and around you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. And you can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed the message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, Church Services, and then Christ Range. And you can also find the text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com. Hey.